News Radio 560, KPQ time is 8:13. This is the Thursday edition of the Morning Report. I'm Kevin Rounce. Kaylee Drago has the morning off this morning. On the phone line is 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
We always talk that first week and really throughout the session, but this year is a little bit different. What has been the start of session like for this year in terms of just kind of the general feeling of it, and sort of what are we looking at in terms of how productive do you think this session can be in your, as you kind of seen how it's worked the first few days?
Yeah, well, this session's a bit different, actually, because we're doing everything remotely. You know, it's been a little bit of a cumbersome process trying to actually put into action all of the plans and prior efforts we made to coordinate the remote session. And I've taken some online votes on the Senate floor, so to speak, in air quotes. But so far, you know, it's worked pretty well. I think we'll get more efficient with it as legislators once we get more accustomed to it. But we had yesterday my first all-remote committee meeting that I've ever participated in. As you mentioned, that hydrogen bill was up for a hearing, and because it was one of the first bills introduced in the legislature, and because it had a lot of support from bipartisan co-sponsors, it got to be one of the very first pieces of legislation to participate in a hearing this year. And it was interesting to do that, and the locals who participated, it was all via Zoom, and so it was an interesting process. But I think the committee did pretty well on the logistics, but it was sure different. And then yesterday, the governor issued his State of the State speech, and normally we all file into the House of Representatives chambers, and I can sit with Representative Steele and Gaynor, and we hear the governor's reaction, but this time it was basically like a coordinated YouTube video of the governor's priorities. So that was an interesting process. Everything's different, but, you know, it's moving along pretty well, I think.
I suppose it's hard to cheer or boo via when you're sitting on your couch or wherever, your office or whatever.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's just so interesting. Things are so different. You know, and it's also different because I'm tucking my kids into bed each night. And yesterday I had to shovel my own driveway in the morning here before I jumped onto my Zoom call. So I've never had a legislative session quite like this, but I'm trying to embrace the good from it and trying to work through some of the challenges.
So we've been talking this week, throughout the week, about the bill you had for learning loss, trying to take a look at that. And you and I could have a very lengthy conversation on that, because my wife's a teacher. You had a bill that was about vaccinating school employees. My understanding is, aren't teachers part of this next wave, or are you looking to vaccinate non-teachers so that the entire school can be officially reopened?
Well, I actually don't have a bill on that, but the state of Washington, the governor and Department of Health recently released their COVID vaccine timeline and schedule. And some of the teachers, according to that timeline by the Department of Health, if they were older than age 50, would be eligible in February to get their first dose. But the teachers that are under the age of 50 would be pushed out until April. And by the time, you know, if that timeline slips and they get two doses, basically, we're looking at the end of the school year before they're vaccinated. So I coordinate a letter as the ranking Republican member on the Senate Education Committee with the chair of the Education Committees in both the House and the Senate. We sent a letter to the governor and the Department of Health encouraging them to have all school employees, administrators, teachers, support staff, to have the opportunity to gain an access to the vaccine in February. If they wanted one, rather than just school employees or teachers over the age of 50.
You also have a bill that you're partnering with Chelan PUD on. Can you give us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I've been in close communications with Chelan PUD General Manager Steve Wright and the people from the DNR. I have a history of working with the DNR. We have a really good relationship. I really like Commissioner Hillary Franz. And there's been a task force that the legislature created a couple years ago for electric utilities to work with the department to help coordinate communication protocols and model agreements about removing hazardous trees and different really important things related to minimizing the risk of wildfire. And there have been some recommendations coming out of that report. And so I have introduced a bill. It's been referred to the Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee to help implement some of the recommendations from that report. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be partnering again with the DNR. We, you know, passed some good bills together in my first term, and so I'm hoping to start my second term the same way with this particular bill. It's been referred to the committee. I don't believe it's been scheduled for a hearing yet, but one of the co-sponsors is the committee chair, so I like my chances.
It's going to get through committee then, you're saying.
I'm hoping.
Well, what would be of that bill, what would be like the benefits for like people who live in those areas?
Well, one of the benefits is we have this increased risk, especially with what's gone on in California, that if we don't coordinate well with the state and with our electric utilities, and there is a potential that sometimes these electric utilities could be blamed and hold liability for some of the wildfires. So we've seen that as a big issue in California, and that could potentially create some exposure for people in Chelan and Douglas and in Okanagan and Grant County. So I'm really excited that this task force did a lot of important work and issued a report to the legislature and have some recommendations for communication protocols, model agreements, you know, things that would really help minimize that risk. But then if we don't implement those things, and if the department doesn't publish those things on its website and keep them updated and then keep a communication back to the legislature, it kind of all that hard work goes for naught. So my bill would create a requirement that the DNR would report back to the legislature every couple years, require that the department update information on its website quarterly, and really maybe get some funding to keep this advisory group going into the future, because it really, if we invest a little bit on the front end here, we could save all of us not only a massive amount of money and revenue loss, but also reduce our risk of catastrophic wildfire, which is a very important thing. So as you can imagine, Kevin, with four PUDs in the 12th District, Chelan, Douglas, Grant, and Okanagan, and with our history of massive wildfires, this bill is something that's very important to us and to our state. So I'm eager to carry forward that message this year, and I hope it advances through the committee and through the process. Like I said, I've been in close communication with the people at DNR and Chelan PUD, so I'm excited about it.
And real quickly, we had 1 minute before I can let you go. Have you heard anything, or I guess what have you heard, if anything, about Senate Bill 5114 that would try to move every county or region in the state to phase two rather than restart us in phase one?
That's certainly a possibility. I guess, you know, with the governor perhaps not being as supportive of that, the real question related to those SODRA efforts or efforts related to reforming the state's Emergency Powers Act is that they need to be signed by the governor in order to take effect. So I think they are good bills to message from. My main message is to the governor is let's get away from these top-down, command and control, Olympia-based set of directives, and let the local regions make some of these important decisions. I actually don't even want the legislature so much involved in some of these things. I want the locals to be empowered to make a lot of the decisions. And that's the same with vaccinations. I mean, too much red tape from the feds to the state to the local is causing delays and making, you know, maybe some bad decisions. So let's streamline things. But Governor Inslee's going to have to, you know, loosen up and let some of the locals have some of that authority. And I'm not sure he's willing to do that quite yet.
Brad, thanks so much for chatting with us, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Thanks, Kevin. Always great to be on with you.
Always great. Here's Radio 560 KPQ.